Joining us now live in studio is Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery, who is on the no to Prop 205 side and comes at it, needless to say, from a county attorney legal side of it, and will help us understand a little bit behind this. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Pam. Thanks, Bruce. And I also come at it as a husband and a father.
Fair enough. Yes, sir.
So you heard our conversation with the pro on Prop 205 side with J.P. Holyoke. What is your reaction to some of the information that was given? Because one of my sticking points on this particular issue is the DUI aspect of it. And you cannot measure marijuana inebriation like you can alcohol inebriation. And I'm thinking just more along the lines, not of this like head-on collision fatality. I'm thinking about it like driving, you know, at 10 o'clock on a Friday night and you get pulled over by police and they suspect that you may be driving under the influence of marijuana. What is your thoughts and your reactions to what you heard as far as the DUI aspect of Prop 205?
Sure. Well, in the language in Prop 205, it's breathtaking in scope by eliminating an entire class of evidence for law enforcement to use to prove impairment. And the initiative itself, it just addresses metabolites. It doesn't distinguish between inactive and active metabolites. In the Supreme Court case, I mean, the lawyers for this side completely missed the case that controls. It was issued on April 22nd of 2014, so a full year before they ever filed their initiative. And the Arizona Supreme Court stated, you have to have active impairing metabolites in order to convict someone of DUI.
Okay.
But if all I have is that blood evidence of the active components, the initiative doesn't allow me to use that. It specifically states that, you know, the state can't penalize somebody for an action taken while they're under the influence, of marijuana based solely on the presence of metabolites, doesn't distinguish active or inactive that may be present in the body or in the urine, blood, saliva.
So it's too broad?
Well, my clarifying question on that would be, we've seen many a study and many a testimonial that marijuana can remain in your system long after the impairment aspect of it has passed. So were they trying to nail that down where you could not be convicted of just having the metabolite in your system? It would have to be an active metabolite?
Well, if that was the case, then again, they failed to properly address it. And because this is voter protected, the legislature won't be able to fix it. So this addresses both active metabolites and inactive metabolites.
Uh-huh.
And the Supreme Court over two years ago now, in April of 2014, said it has to be active. So if I've got a driver who hurts or kills somebody and they're rendered unconscious because of the collision, so they make no statements to police, they don't do the field sobriety tests, all I have is that blood evidence, I can't use it.
All right. So there is a needless to say, maybe a wording issue might be the nicest way to put it, that it removes the ability of the county attorney or prosecutors in general to go after somebody who might be under the influence of marijuana at the time.
Though the initiative specifically states while they're under the influence.
Correct. I will concede that point. How's that? Question to you regarding the revenue side of it, because that's been a point of contention as well. The argument, if I understand it and boil it down to a very simple sense, do you want the revenue from marijuana to go to the drug cartels, or do you want it go to the state of Arizona / education? Is it that simple, a binary choice?
No, it's a false choice, because, you know, we've been rather successful in the United States at having over, you know, about 90% of Americans don't use drugs. It's only 10%.
Yeah.
You know, if we had any other area in the United States where it was a policy to try to restrict the use of anything to only 10%, we'd call that a huge success. So it's a false choice to say it's all of one or the other. And schools are not going to see much, if anything, because the way they drafted the formula here, first you have to pay for the overhead of the new Department of Marijuana, which has authority not just over licensees like the Department of Liquor, and that was the basis for the budget estimate that was issued, what the Department of Liquor spends. But the Department of Marijuana goes beyond just investigating licensees. They're also given the authority in this initiative to investigate any unlicensed person who transfers marijuana for anything of value. That there's no other regulatory authority in the state that has authority over unlicensed persons like that. So huge overhead that hasn't been captured in any of the estimates. Colorado doesn't do it that way. Department of Health Services and overseeing the Medical Marijuana Act doesn't do it that way. But then you also have to pay the Department of Revenue's overhead for them to go out and make sure that cash-only businesses are paying their taxes. Then you've got to pay back the Medical Marijuana Fund that they take money from to start this. Then you've got to pay municipalities half of the licensing fees. Then you can start to give some money to schools. And then even out of that, you got to carve out 20% for public education programs on the harms of marijuana.
Okay, so what you're saying, or at least what I'm hearing you say, is that of the revenue that is generated, the state's got to pay themselves first before we even get to that 80% of the revenue that would go towards schools.
In the best case scenario.
Okay.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery, he's on the no Prop 205 side. J.P. Holyoke, who we got a chance to speak to a little earlier. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it on our podcast, ktar.com.